feel so like.
All right, I'm just gonna kill our mics. The fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of martial, of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up
place.
Late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Thank you, Elgin. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show special Thursday edition.
Yeah, we're doing it. Got to stay fresh in the pandemic.
That's right. And I'm here with Minda.
Hello, all.
And we were going to do it Tuesday, but it was a blackout, media blackout day as a sign of support, right, for Black Lives Matter. And I'm just blanking on Georgia.
Well, I forgot his name. Floyd.
Yeah. You know, I just got done. My buddy just sent me this funny meme with George Jefferson. It was hilarious.
Okay, so on the brain.
So in my head, I'm thinking George Jefferson.
Not just the only black person you can name who's famous.
No. See, and that's the thing, because everybody now, it's amazing because, you know, I was just reading that story about Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees.
Man, it's hard for a white man to speak out right now. You don't know what to say because that shit's fucked up, but how's it come off?
You say nothing. And I learned this last week because I posted on Facebook, you know, so much for peaceful protests.
Well, there were some peaceful protests. Well, I mean, the vast majority.
Right, I get it. But, you know, but that's not what America sees. You know, America's seeing.
Well, that's because the media sucks.
Right. So, you know, so my post was so much for peaceful protests. You know, now, you know, the average American will view this and lose respect for the cause. And that was not me saying I'm losing respect for the cause.
Gutsy.
Yeah. Well, you try it again. Just talk into it. Well,
check. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't doing that before.
No, it sounded amazing.
No, I'm plug it in and plug it out again.
All right. We'll see what happens. Make sure my thing's down so it doesn't pop on it. Check.
Yeah, no.
One, two.
There we go. So, you know, that's not what it was meant. Now, I lost about 15 Facebook friends.
Okay.
Right? And a few people that I
was. Not surprising.
No.
Par for the course.
People just
Is
judging.
15 the most you've ever lost?
With a post, that's up there. It's probably, you know. And it was distinctive, like, who some of the people that left. It was disappointing. Most of them might care less. You know, listen, who gives a shit anymore? You know, I'm ready to clean out my Facebook list anyway of friends. You know, I'm thinking on Facebook, my personal Facebook, I just really want people I know. You know what I mean? I don't need, because there's so much horse shit on Facebook. There's just, I don't even want to open it. You open it and it's just the weirdest, stupidest shit you've seen. You know, it's like, you know, I don't have any interest in this. If I want to get news, I'm going to go on and look for news. I'm not going to find out. I'm not going to want to know what Susan Jones, or that's actually somebody I want to think this thing, I'm talking about her. But Billy Jones, or, you know, Beer Kai and Bill. I don't really give a shit with their political. I don't give a shit what somebody say. You know, say, I don't care. You know what I mean? If I want to get my news, I get my news. When I go on Facebook, I want to see people like, you know, with cleavage. I want to see, you know, I want to see people doing stupid shit. I want to laugh. I want to be entertained. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go on Facebook to get my news or get my perspective on life.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a trend.
People hear what I just said. You said, so, you know, so much for that. You know, the average American will lose respect for the cause. And I mean, you're an intelligent woman. You understand that I'm basically saying this is from this happening. This is what can occur from it.
Well, it detracts from the good part of what, right. what's trying to be done.
And there's many people that said that. But meanwhile, I got people saying shit to me. And
there's,
you know,
a lot of Americans, though, you know, they believe that the violence is justified because when you ignore something for so long,
it's pent up.
How do you expect people to start reacting when the other ways that they have tried to react haven't worked? Now, I think it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of a setup, people taking advantage of the situation. Yeah. And then it is, you know, it is a lot of pent up. People got a lot of anger out there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when the cops hug everybody.
That's nice.
It's
That's nice.
I don't know how much of a setup that is, but it's still nice. I didn't feel particularly inspired. My friend brought up a video of them pulling that dude out of the tanker and beating the living hell out of him out on the bridge. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. I can't say I was particularly inspired.
It was like Reginald Denny back in the day.
It was. It felt very throwback, rando brutality. That other guy, too. Not just Reginald Denny, but
during Rodney King, that's what happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Reginald Denny stopped his truck. Bob Levy posted a video of a bunch of protesters trying to stop a FedEx truck, and the FedEx truck kept going. And one of the guy, your kids tried to jump onto the truck,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up falling and getting stuck in the wheel well and being dragged.
Oh, gosh.
And then one of the kids, one of the protest rider guys, like, this is fucked up. I'm like, okay. Listen, if you play, you pay. You know, listen, if I go to protest and I get aggressive and I start, you know, throwing shit and all that kind of stuff and something bad befalls me, I'm not going to blame anybody else. You know, I mean, this is the thing about taking some responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you go and you, like, there was a story about this lady who brought her kid. She's like, oh, the police tear gassed this little kid. Well, why the hell are you bringing a 4 or 5 year old to a protest?
But I mean, if it's not a violent protest, that could be very, all right, like, but a learning experience.
But see, that right there is ignorant. That right
who
there is
turns
ignorant.
It violent?
All right, so
what's ignorant?
It is
that
ignorant.
You would take
a child to a protest so they can learn something about American history.
It
is ignorant because what you're doing is,
how do you know it's going to turn crazy?
Because what? No,
when
that's
it
not
turned
the
crazy, she should have got the
that's
fuck out
the
of there before a kid got tear gassed.
That is not the question. How do you know it's not going to go crazy? The question is,
should you bring the kid?
How do you know it won't?
But most protests don't.
Well, that's my point. So if they don't, no.
Exactly.
There's violence. You're going to say that something like this. Are you telling me that anybody in their right mind who decided they were going to go to one of these things didn't think that it could get ugly?
I don't know about all the different ways activists get their information, so I'm just going to put that out there. Mm. So I don't know if you know before you go something if it's supposed to be particularly hostile,
right,
or not, but I would say this. I believe the vast majority of protests in this country are peaceful, and that being said, maybe I wouldn't take my baby to a protest because who wants the hell to take a baby anyplace? But if I had a child of a learning age, I might take them to a protest,
right,
if I thought it was important enough for them to learn something.
As opposed to maybe just going over the news with them during the day and explaining
everything
that's
happening.
Oh, yeah,
because the news
happening.
Is so accurate,
well, you can
and
watch
on top
it.
Of it.
You know,
the news fucking sucks.
Well, the parent, well, again, just like anything else, not all of it does, and some are reporting stuff. And either way, you know, as opposed to taking your kid to the front line of potential mayhem, you know, it's like if you had
Hold
a four.
On.
If
I wouldn't
you,
do that
if,
though. That's
if you had
what
a 5-year-old child and Dan took him to the protest, and it's you. Hey, so far it seems pretty. It seems pretty good. Everything seems pretty.
And if
cool.
it started getting violent, we'd get the fuck out of there.
And forget about it. That's not the point. Is let's say you're working. Dan took your child, 5-year-old child, to a protest.
Okay.
Right, and all of a sudden the child ends up cracking its skull because some asshole threw a bottle and it hit him. Right? Are you going to get mad at Dan? Are you going to get mad at the guy who threw the bottle?
What are you talking about? First of all, I'm going to be mad at everyone. But the point is one, yeah, that guy should have never been throwing the bottle. But two,
but you have no control of that. But
if
you have
I
no control of that.
Parent,
you can't get mad at things you can't control.
So if I'm a parent, and as I'm approaching the scene of a protest, it looks violent in mm-hmm. any way, where there's throwing of right. things, etc., and I had a child with me.
You hightail it out.
We would get the hell out of right. there. But I said that. I said right. that up front.
Right.
I'm just saying my expectation would be if I did, okay, I know about this protest. I know the group who's putting it on. Right. I believe it's going to be peaceful. I don't think it's ignorant to think the majority of protests in this country right. are peaceful.
So let me ask you, so if this kid got sprayed with tear gas, do you think the parent did that? Do you think the parent stuck around? Because
you, I think if you're it at doesn't the go, point it doesn't where go from, the it doesn't kids go from no police. Gassed, I think you should have got the cat out yeah, of there you're, a while you're, ago.
Yeah, it's your
I,
fault.
I'm 100%
it's
on
fault.
That.
It's your fault. I don't want to hear your fucking story. I don't want to hear your babying. You know, you put your kid in harm's way. You are fully responsible. And this is why people don't know up. You know, if something happens to you that's bad, you know what I mean? Like I've said this in the past about shit. I don't care who you are. If you're in the middle of committing a crime, if you're doing bad, if you're doing something bad that would harm another human being and something bad happens to you, I have no sympathy for you. Okay? Obviously, in this case, what happened, this guy, you know, God, you know, it's fucking hard. And, you know, it's horrible. And I think that's the thing. That was my point. Everybody who saw that video was horrified. Everybody who saw that video said, this is bullshit. Everybody felt, I did. I couldn't imagine anybody unless you're a cake, you know, unless you are a racist. And yeah, anybody who saw that video felt for the black community. And you sympathized for it, and you got even more into it. You know, you did. But then when you see all this other stuff going in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of everything else going on, you know, again, okay, so here's the thing. You can't say people that are upset about the violence are wrong. You can't tell somebody that their judgment of what's happening is not, they can't say, look, this is, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't shoot somebody, some fucking retired 70-something-year-old cop because he's protecting somebody. And here's the other thing. You can't blame it on one group of people. You can't say, oh, this is, you know, I had some moron, I won't mention her name, but I had some moron telling me on Facebook that, oh, all these people that are throwing bottles and setting fires are all, you know, alt-right people. They're all KKK fascists. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
Okay, they don't look that way. Okay, well, some of
them are. Probably, but
no, they have them on video.
Yeah,
there's definitely some
again,
of them.
Again, but that's selective media usage. But for the most part, when I
not
watch...
Not if you see all the media.
I'm watching all of it.
I've
and
seen
I, and
lots
the,
of
the
colors.
Majority, I see a lot, and it's not, you know what I mean? It's not... To say it's one is ridiculous.
I don't think it is. Who's saying it's one?
Well, this particular person.
Was?
When you try to make a point,
right,
they're coming
well,
out
so
and
the
saying...
Thing with Floyd is, it's less that while... Perhaps if these cops are convicted, there will be some level of justice.
But there's already people that said it's not enough. They're going to still protest.
It's because the list is getting long.
Well, it is.
It's getting kind of weird long.
And we know,
like,
yeah, but listen.
Sometimes
that,
I don't even know if it's real or
when
if
the
it's
people
like
talk
a,
about when people talk about that list, there's some people on that list that, you know, like I had a friend bring up Michael Brown. I'm like, look, that is not a good. Michael Brown is nothing like. Why am I blanking on his name? Because I keep thinking everyone on the same. I see George Jefferson. What's the guy's name?
My God,
you know it? Do you know it?
What are you talking?
The
whose
guy
name
who got
are you
killed. The guy
it?
Who got killed.
George Floyd.
George Floyd. So you know, George Floyd and Michael Brown are two different people.
Okay, I thought there was somebody
people.
Else with Michael Brown that I didn't.
No,
know
no.
About.
You
okay.
know, Michael Brown was a thug, and he tried to attack the cop, and it was all that was all that whole Black Lives Matter that started with him was horseshit. Okay, but this case. Was not. It's they're complete different ends.
I'm just saying there's still a lot on the list. It's becoming
it
a
is.
Trend.
It
I
is.
Think that's what everyone's freaking out
well,
about.
Well, it's becoming a trend. Listen, here's the real thing. You know, we know that, you know, racism exists. So until let me ask you this question, Minda. Mm-hmm. Do you think racism will be expunged? Do you think it'll be gone? Do you think it could ever be gone?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's... A little bit of a loaded question. I don't know if it will ever be gone because I can't get inside everyone's mind and verify it. But let me say this.
Right.
I think people like you and I who live in a place like South Florida and even more so grew up in a place like South Florida forget that we live in a level of diversity. Look, you look at my kindergarten class. We look at like a cast of the small world. When I went to middle school, versus minorities, white kids were the minority
right.
in the school. And then I went on to a private school that was exactly the opposite in Fort Lauderdale, where it was almost all white kids. But that being said, we grow up in a place of great diversity where right. it ain't no big thing to have a black guy next to you at any given time, or a Spanish guy, right. or pick a nationality.
Right.
But most of America is not like that. When I moved to outside of Pittsburgh, specifically in West Virginia, I'm going to tell you, I walked around all the time going, where's all the black people right. at? And it wasn't like a racist thing. It was like it almost felt uncomfortable for me to only see one
really?
Race. Yes, it felt weird because we growing up down here, that never happened.
What'd you think? Did you think that somebody took them away?
No, but I thought it was... I don't know. I think when you grow up in a particular place your entire life, even when you visit other places, it tends to be major cities or whatnot. So you don't realize that not every place is diverse. And the lack of diversity in the vast majority of the United States has created a complete misunderstanding of who people are. They're not, you know, how can you not, how do you know a black guy if you never met one?
Yeah. Well, again, we fear what we don't know, right? It's familiarity, like you just said. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of protesting right now going on in Wyoming. There's not a lot of protesting going on in North Dakota, you know. But that's the weird thing. It's in the cities where there is a mix, where there are people.
Sometimes, and know? Then sometimes it's in way rando small towns that you don't yeah. exist. Or even someplace in northern Florida is nowhere near as diverse as the South Florida, Miami, you know, Fort Lauderdale area.
I'm thinking about it in the sense that my philosophical belief is you'll always have, just like the old, you know, good versus evil, you know, that argument. You know, you can't have good without evil. You can't have evil without good. That is the yin and yang of the world. You know, that is the balance as the universe has given us.
Yeah.
So you're going to have that. You know, what we have seen, the benefit I tell, you know, people, and the thing that irks me a little bit is when people say this country's this country's that. The reason why millions of people are trying to get into this country is because it's better than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's not as bad of a country as we like to say.
That's the one thing I'm trying to fucking tired. Oh, this country, this fuck, you know.
But there's some fucked up shit going on, so we got to fix it. But we are fixing it.
But that is almost the most ridiculous fucking thing in the world. Not in that we shouldn't try to fix problems. It's that we expect things to be perfect. That is the
utopia that is America.
You know, it's almost like as a comic, it's almost the same thing. If you don't think you're ever going to bomb, and then when you do, it's going to be horrible. You know what I mean? Like you have to understand that adversity and things are going to happen, and you have to deal with it. We have become a society that cannot handle adversity at all. We think of the solution is behind a fucking press of a button on a computer.
How about if the adversity is one-sided, though? Okay, I forgot who this lady was, and I'm going to just apologize up front. She was an older, like, philosopher at a school, and I'll find it by the end of the podcast to give her credit, okay?
Right.
But I saw a clip, and she was in an school auditorium filled with an array of ages. It wasn't just students, right?
Right.
But she asked the question, like, hey, and it was all white people. But she's like, hey, who in the room, like, wants to be black? Was pretty much, she said it way more eloquently than what
right.
I just said.
Well,
but I'm going to say not one white person in that room raised their hand and said, and that like, not that people don't want to be black, but they're saying, like, they, like, you shouldn't feel... like you have like some superiority going over, like you have benefits that you wouldn't want to give up just based on skin color.
Well, let's get something clear here when it comes to that hypothetical situation. You can't control how you're born.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not my fault that I'm white,
right,
but you still have to be sensitive to other people being discriminated
absolutely,
against.
Absolutely, and the best thing you could do is not to be that person. If every person was basically said, I'm going to judge people solely on their actions and behavior, not on their race, creed, color, or anything else. If everybody can say that, you know, but here's the thing. You can get 99.9% of the fucking people in the world to commit to that, sign it, put it in blood, but you're still going to have shit happen. You want to know why? Because there's still people out there that are fucking brain damaged. You're still going to have people out there that are in a position they shouldn't be in. You know, like, you're always going to have a bad accountant. You know what I mean? You're always going to have people that get screwed. You're always going to have an embezzler. You're always going to have, you know, somebody that, you know, you're always going to have an unfunny fucking open mic comic. You know, there's always going to be that part of the equation. That's just the way it is.
So you're just accepting that there's always going to be a few bad cops?
Listen, I'm not accepting anything.
There's always going to be a little brutality, just a little.
Yeah, because there is.
But you should strive.
No. That whole That goes against what I just said. I said if every person, the only thing I can be responsible for is my own actions. Yeah. I can't judge or tell somebody else how to fucking be.
No. Nope.
All I can be is me. And yep. all I can hope is that if I'm that way, it gets catched, you know, like more and more. It's like the herd mentality. You know, if more and more people, and that's what's happened to this country in the last few hundred years, is that as time has gone on, more and more people have felt that. You know, like you said, you know, women couldn't vote up until a point. Well, that changed, right? Because logic and all. So things are getting better. Now what we've seen is you've seen the guy get arrested 3 days after the officer who put his knee on his neck. Good. He's arrested.
I don't know why he had to put his hand in his pocket during it. It looked a little like a conspiracy theory. I know. I saw the list. Some of that stuff's bullshit.
Yeah, a lot
but of it. Like, come on, man. Like, you have to look so like blasé about the fact that some dude can't breathe.
Yeah, that was
like that means you're not even. You don't need to do that. If you could put your hand in your pocket,
the minute somebody's handcuffed and on their stomach. There's no reason to do anything. You could just sit there and put your foot on top of their back if you wanted.
They can't even get up without their arms.
It's ridiculous. And so this guy gets arrested. Okay. Good. Quick.
And the other three guys are on the guy at the same time, too.
They're arrested. They got arrested. So that, to me, is pretty quick. Not, you know, again, here's another stupid argument. So that's not quick enough. Really? A day or two? And listen, I get it. But, you know, the fact that it's done, you know what I mean? We can't start going, like it makes a difference between 3 days to 4 days. It's not. The fact that the guy got arrested, good. Second, now the next thing is it's going to have to be the judicial system, okay?
Yeah, no, let's just hang them all.
Well, listen.
Just string them up like Handmaid's Tale.
If you want, I've already said this. If you want action or actions like that, right. If you want to curtail that type of activity, you have to make it. You have to make the penalties much stricter and wider spread. In other words, if a cop does that, right, not only does he go to jail, but if he has any type of pension, it goes to the family that he killed.
There you go.
I think that'd be a great
nice
way.
Rule. Wow,
right?
Good, Dougie. Good for you. His
pension gets surrendered over to the family. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like a restitution that you do that. You got to, you know, let that. So if a cop kills. That's the first thing you're going to pay. And then, of course, there's a wrongful death suit. They're going to win a lot of money for that. They better have a civil case against it. Okay. But also, you know, now the cops around them, you know what I mean? You have to have cops step up. These, like they said, if you know, and you know that, you know, you people know when you're in a certain group, you know, Bill's a bit of a fucking asshole.
Sad Man said up there a little bit ago that people are looking for a reason to be angry. I mean, there's a lot, you know, I'm going
to
say.
You need to find a reason to get angry nowadays?
Well, the planets are all fucked up this year, and we've all been sitting inside from a pandemic.
Right.
What I'm going to say is it wasn't hard to tip people into this.
Isn't it amazing how
chaos?
Isn't it amazing how just a few weeks ago nobody wanted to go outside? Everybody wanted to be so. Now there are people.
Bro, you don't even
know.
I think that shit's a trick. Like, I feel like everyone has the right to protest, so no one should stop protesting. You need to make a point, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, look, hey, come out now, touch each other, be within 2 feet of each other. It's just cases are rising.
Yeah, they're starting to see
it.
The only thing is, and I don't care. But I think that what's going to happen is that the medical system is ready. And be able to handle it. And like I've said before, coronavirus is a virus or pandemic that only has 3% of the people that catch it need hospitalization. So it's not that big of a fucking deal as they always were saying.
Well,
and they were trying to panic this country.
A lot of people died in Sweden. They're up at like the 8-10% range because herd immunity.
Yeah.
They banked on the herd immunity. And they're way disproportionate on their death rate.
We don't care about the coronavirus.
Hey, man, probably their stocks are soaring.
So all I know is, accuse somebody of being a racist because they do something very racist, not because they have an opinion. Like Drew Brees, you know, Drew Brees went out and I watched his statement. Drew Brees basically said, you know, he had family that was fought in World War II. And his opinion is that if somebody kneels during the Pledge of Allegiance, it's disrespectful. All right. That's his opinion. He's not saying down with the black man, and
why do you have to go there? Okay, yeah, Colin, you're perfect, great. Ooh, you kneeled when no one wanted to. Where'd that get you? Not in a job in the NFL, because that's not what you're doing now. So, Breeze, shut up.
I think, feel any way you want to feel, but
shut up. All you got to say is, blackout, I'm with you. That shit's fucked up, because it is.
Yeah,
that should be all you say.
Yeah. I think so, but that's the thing. You're gonna, one way or the other. People have to pay for it. So, you know, good. And again, here's a guy who's loving, you know, he's a Christian guy, you know, and even his own teammates are like, tell him, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
Well, so you're like, bro, man, right? You're too white to be talking shit. Like, and that's kind of like, no offense, that's how white people feel sometimes. Like, you're not sure. You don't want to offend anyone, but you don't want to say anything.
And everybody's on the edge. Everybody's a little on the edge right now.
Oh, man.
Right?
People just be coming after other people. Like, I can't even get into that. Like, I'm doing stuff behind the scenes. That's how I like to do things.
Yeah.
That's my personal preference. I don't care for those like, oh, you haven't made a post. I see you.
Yeah,
You don't know what the fuck I'm doing in my house. I could be doing some revolutionary shit that you don't even know about, because when I do nice things, I don't gotta post that shit on social media.
I'm not doing it in a conditional manner.
I helped a lady across the street. Oh, it's a great day out there.
It was actually funny to watch people post on Instagram, you know, the blackout photo.
I would have done that just to do, I missed it. I didn't get on Instagram for like 2 days, and by the time I did, you can't post it 2 days later.
By the way,
or a day and a half.
By the way, we were supposed to go on Tuesday at 6.
Yeah,
and we said it wasn't a good day. It was a media blackout day.
I was too hot.
I was too upset anyway. And Minda calls me and she's like, "You're in an area where the protesters are going. You better get the fuck out of there before some." No,
I said, "Yo, there's protests about to happen, and on top of it, it's media blackout day. We got to respect the blackout."
Yeah.
And Dougie agreed immediately.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
He was like, fuck that shit.
Listen, I'm only going to bring this up because just to put emphasis on what I feel. I've always been the guy who cheers on the underdog. You know what I mean? I feel for folks that are coming up from the deep. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I'm not black. But, you know, I wasn't born of a silver spoon like many people think or had thought.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because I'm in the position I'm in now. Many people go, oh, this guy. I didn't have shit. My parents didn't know a damn thing. They came here. They didn't help me with school. I didn't really have money. I had to get my own way through college and stuff. So, you know, I always been for the underdog. So that's why, you know, for the boys in men's club, I mentored a few young black men in my early 20s because I thought it was necessary because we saw shit like that happen even back then. And I felt for it. So when somebody calls me racist, it just gets like, oh, my God, it's the ignorance in people just to put a label on somebody because something said, you know.
Yeah.
And
I think part of the argument, though, is even perhaps where you lived. I'm not quite sure where you grew up. I think what, Coral Springs or something?
Right in this area, yeah, South Florida.
That systemically, based on your background and where your parents got to live, your educational system was better. Like, it's a setup.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
Shitty,
you know,
educational
people...
system. It is based on property taxes, so that makes sense.
So
now you're kind of fucking us up front because we don't even have like the resources we need to do better than our parents.
All right, but here, this is an interesting argument that says that. And listen, not all bad neighborhoods are black or poor neighborhoods are black. There's plenty of poor white neighborhoods all over the country that aren't getting any attention to it. And, you know, and that's why when it focuses on that, you know, that's it. So you can't, when the people make it a race thing, I'm like, it's not a race thing. It's a economic thing. So for that part of it, when it comes to taxes and things like that, okay, it comes to that. And you know what? That's why, again, as a human being, when you're in a country that basically rewards those who do things that other people don't, a capitalistic, you know, a country like this where you can do whatever you want, that also means you could fucking fall on your face and be a piece of shit too. You know, and that's the thing. If you have this room to expand, for every bit of success somebody has, somebody else has to eat a dick for it. You know, that to me is the way it is. You know, if somebody's going to get headline gigs, somebody else isn't getting that gig. You know, and you know what I'm saying? So the only thing you could do is you can worry about yourself. You got to put yourself in the best situation. You know, and that's the thing. As a human being, you know, don't blame. If you don't make it in life, you got to, like, if you know, like me, I knew I wasn't going to go. My parents didn't have money for college, so what did I do? I had to really work hard at my sports and try to get an athlete. Listen, so what happened if I wasn't athletic?
So, but the neighborhood that you grew up in and the schools that you went to, I'm guessing, we're still a few notches above some
whatever.
Of the
unless the person's going to a school, unless the person's going to a school that doesn't have any athletics, that doesn't have any after school programs, that doesn't have any volunteers that are there to help, and these people aren't going to reach out, then there's no excuse.
But some of them don't.
But
that, look, I was supposed to go to Miramar High. Okay, I played sports. You know what? My mom used to drive a bus on the side at night, and she used to tell me
party bus.
No, not a party bus, bang like bus? A school bus. Oh. Like for teams right. and stuff who are going to games. And she would be like one of the sports I played was volleyball as well as soccer.
Right.
Sometimes they wouldn't have enough varsity girls show up to play the games wow. and they would just forfeit. Now, as somebody whose sports matters, do you want to go to that fucking school? Because the only one that everyone showed up for were other sports that I didn't
right.
play.
Right.
So, we have to find other choices, but choices well, that families don't have.
I wanted to go to St. Thomas Aquinas. I wanted to play soccer there because it was a very good... You know,
yeah, I played soccer
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so I wanted to go mm-hmm. there, but we didn't have the money to go there. And I was offered a bit of a scholarship, but it wasn't even enough to go.
Yeah.
And then plus, I went to Coconut Creek High School where my brother set the pace and, you know, was a great, great soccer school. So, again... I get it. There's always reasons for
there's
not.
There's inherent advantages that you may have had that other people but here's don't, the thing. And now it's becoming generational.
But at the same time, there's moments where I have advantages where in other situations I don't have the advantage.
True.
So it's always relative to the situation. You can focus on the one you don't. And that's the humanity. That's the lack of the character that somebody's going to focus. You know, when I mentor these young men, that's the one thing I used to say. I go, look, you guys got a fucking million reasons not to succeed. You guys are going to have a million excuses for failure. You're going to have a million excuses if you go to jail or kill somebody. You're going to have plenty of reasons to do it. But it's the difference of not accepting that. Okay? And again, I'm here to tell you that there'll always be there's always going to be good and bad people. We're never going to get to that utopian situation where everything's just dandy. Because guess what? When it is like that, it's going to suck. Okay? Cuz everybody's going to miss hardship. Everybody's going to miss,
what?
You know.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you say that now, but trust me.
No, I like to coast by. I don't really want to struggle.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was like the whitest thing I could say right now.
Sure was.
Yeah, so I still believe you had advantages that other people don't. And I still believe your parents did too, and their parents did
my
too.
My parents, here's
that's the
thing.
The problem.
My parents.
Now we're like four generations in of
represented. But everything. Everybody has a place in life where you come. It's not where you come from, it's where you go. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, again, these stats, you know, people like to bring stats to justify things.
People do make it. People make it out of horrible situations
all
the time. But it's a smaller percentage than
so for the, all right, so let me ask you a question. So for the most part,
income levels.
So for the most part, with that being said, for the most part, would you say that people, you know, what determines success or failure in an individual has more to do with society or the surroundings than it does the individual. Is that what you're saying?
Are you saying...
Ciro, we're in the middle of
really
fucking...
He knows we're doing it.
What are you
he,
doing?
He wants to talk about it, I guess.
Well, I can't bring him on now.
Okay, so you're doing the whole nature versus nurture thing?
I just asked you a simple question.
Yeah, I think your surroundings have a big impact on who you become.
All right, so you're saying that...
And I say that people can make it out, but it's a small percentage.
So you're saying that if someone's success is more determined about what happens to them around them than their own inner fire and own inner persona.
No. So hold on.
So if somebody's going to be successful, they're going to be successful. If somebody's going to be a loser, they're going to be a loser regardless.
No, I don't think that at all.
Right.
No, I think it's a combination of, yeah, who you are gives you the ability to potentially overcome that. That being said, in a lot of those situations, there's so much duress and negative forces upon an individual
that
a higher percentage is not, it doesn't matter if 10% of a low income population can make it to home ownership and a professional job.
Let me ask you another question.
It needs to be a way bigger percentage.
Let me ask you another question.
Okay.
So who do you think is more likely to fail, the child born in an impoverished family who has nothing, or the child who was born with a trust fund? Which one do you think will amount? Not because. And when I say success fail, I don't mean, you know. To me, somebody who has nothing and ends up having a small home you know, somebody comes from nothing and ends up having at least a couple hundred thousand, like a home or friends and a job,
yeah,
versus somebody who came from billions now has really nothing. Who really failed?
Well, hold on. Are you saying the trust fund baby now has nothing and lost it all?
When I'm trying, just someone
who came up in poor circumstances.
What I'm telling you is that
just because
you're born of privilege sometimes doesn't guarantee you anything either.
Well, it doesn't, but that's your own bad. Like, if you were born with a trust fund...
How could you say that it's your own bad?
Because you have all the opportunities in the world.
All right, so... But my point is
You go to the best schools. You have every resource in the world at your fingertips.
You're ignoring another aspect.
That's ridiculous.
You're ignoring another aspect.
I didn't come up as a trust fund baby, and I'll tell you, I'd be a lot more rich right now if I did.
The person who's born with of wealth doesn't ever deal with adversity, doesn't end up getting the equipment or the mentality to deal with adversity.
Maybe their mom dies of cancer at five. You have no idea about people. These are ridiculous hypotheticals that really are only contradicting your own stance.
No, it's not.
It really is.
As a person who's a fiduciary and licensed, I've helped people set up spendthrift trusts because their fucking kids are a bunch of morons. They're going to lose all their money. So my point,
I'm not saying rich people don't raise stupid kids.
My point is simple. My point is that where you come from is always going to be relative. You can fail or win no matter where you come from.
Yes, because we are in America, so that is possible.
So my point is that, yes, there's going to be a million reasons to fail. There's going to be a million reasons to succeed, regardless of where you come from. Everybody's going to have to deal with some sort of faction of challenge, and it may look different. Your challenge may be because you're poor and you're living in a house with no ability to, you know, let's say good teachings and good, you know, influences.
Yeah, you don't have good parental
guidance. You have one parent instead of two. Okay, all that. But at the same time, you know, then you can have a child who's born of wealth with two parents and a nanny and shit, and the person still doesn't be able to develop the ability to do anything because of their persona.
So in both instances, it's the parents' fault. But in one of those instances, if I want to be the kid who overcomes, it takes...
It's all about the person. 100,000 times more the effort. It's all about the person.
No, you're missing the effort.
Sometimes, that's the thing.
So here's my question to you. Hold on, can I ask you a question? Can I circumvent it and bend it with some other question?
No,
it's going to be completely straight. It's going to be based on your own premise here of the rich kid and the underprivileged child. Okay? Who do you think it's easier to succeed in life? The kid with the trust. So we're saying we know that they both can go off right. When it comes to success and the amount of effort you have to put in to be successful, who do you think has to work harder to succeed, or who, whatever, the privileged child or the child coming from a low income family with underprivileged circumstances?
Obviously, the child that has more things at the time.
Yeah, because they have all the resources. Yeah,
but my point is not that one would become one wouldn't. Mine is that just because you are in a situation, your success is really predicated on your choices in life.
You're thinking of the individual. You're not thinking of the group.
Because here's the thing. Here's my fucking point. If you rely on everybody else, you're going to be disappointed. Life is not about relying on other people and expecting things. You have to fucking work on yourself.
Yeah.
And there's too many people out there that are like, I'm hoping, I'm wishing, I hope. And that's the problem. You worry about the government changing something for you. You're going to worry about this changing something for you. You know, I mean, it's not going to happen that way. And if the only way we're going to get change, as we said at the beginning of this, where there isn't race and where you don't have cops shooting innocent fucking people and unarmed people, the only way that's going to happen is if somehow we wake up and everybody wakes up and looks at themselves and go, man, I need to work on my shit.
Yeah, I think you're grossly underestimating how difficult it is to grow. Right, so, hold up. Can I just finish my statement?
But if a person can't do it, what makes you think people can do it? If one person can't get their shit straight, then what makes you think a group of people can get their shit straight?
Because anything's possible. What are you talking about? No. Anyone get their shit straight? I don't even know what you're talking about. All I'm saying is this. You are grossly underestimating how hard it is to both grow up in a low-income ghetto as well as a low-income fucking trailer park. It doesn't matter what color you are. When your parents are poor and or addicts and have been suppressed and you're living in poverty and nobody's fucking watching you and feeding you, you are not going to tell me that that person does not have to work harder and a less percent of those are going to make it.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. We're leveling the playing field.
But it's all relative. If you grow up in that type of neighborhood, success is simpler. You know, my success of going to college, I went to Flagler College. My success is that I went to Harvard. You know, that's a level of success that can be just... Stop squeezing the fucking bottle! It's a difference, okay? That's what I'm saying. Somebody will look at me as what I said is success of going to college, and somebody will look at that and go, that's not successful. You went to Flagler College. You didn't grow from a good school. So that, when it comes to that, that pervades through what you just said about somebody's harder or not. Somebody's harder, somebody's easier. It's not the point is that my point is that it's all up to the person. You know, you have no fucking choice. You were born in a rich family, poor family, whatever. You can't bitch or complain about it. You can't make excuses for it. That's my point. It is what it is. Don't make excuses about it. You know, it is. You can't say, oh, I didn't make it because of this. I would never buy that. You know, I'm not going to say, as a comic, I'm going to say, oh, listen, I'm not successful because I'm not 20 years old. I started comedy when I was 20 years old. You know, I'm not going to do that. If I'm not successful, it has to do because I haven't dealt with the best way to be successful. Because I want to be successful, that means I'm the one who's responsible for it. It's that simple. And I'm not going to bitch and complain if I don't make it or blame somebody for it. And that's the thing. And again, that's why, yes, if these family, you know, if you live in a bad neighborhood and shit like that, it is much more challenging. You have a lot more things you have to, you know, when you walk home from school, you got to worry about being shot by a stray bullet. You know, you got to worry about a lot of other things.
Why should life be harder than that kid than you? You know, you just gave a great speech for some fucking white kid who comes up in middle-class America. I don't think you understand how people live in poor areas. You weren't that poor.
I wasn't.
Look on fucking Indian, Native American reservations and in horrible fucking places in different cities on the outskirts and as well as, like, down home trailer parks. There are people of every color and creed who are suppressed, and it's hard for all of them. The problem is on top of it.
People have it harder than
others. African Americans have been discriminated based on their color.
Yes.
Alone.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming a trend that people don't like. So we need
to change it. It's been
out of control.
Well, wait, hold on a second. Go tell somebody who lived in Alabama in the 50s that it's out of control now as compared to where is it then. That's the thing. It's like, listen, people are talking about it like it's, you know, was it 40 people got killed by unarmed people got killed by police last year. 40 people. And people are talking about it like it's, you know, listen, it's a bad one person, right? But 40 people. And then somebody was brought up the comment.
So what's the racial breakdowns of those 40?
Well, it's interesting you say that because here's a way to look. If you use stats, forget about, let's separate emotion, by the way, when we talk about when, because here's the thing. If you want to learn, if you want to move forward, if you want to be enlightened, you can't get too emotional about stuff, right? You never make a good decision when you're emotional. You have to be somewhat cool-headed and make it. So here's the discussion. So out of the people that were killed last year, let's say the number was, it was basically 25 white people and 14 black people, okay?
Okay, more, well, there's way more white people in America than black people.
As a ratio of the populace.
Percentage of population.
Okay, but when you compare things, when you make a comparison of in the situation, you have to look at a couple different things. You look at it, yes, as a population, they're skewed. It's much higher than the black person, right? But if you look at it and police confrontations or police incidences, if you take it down from the populace, not everybody in the country is committing a crime. Not everybody's in that position of getting shot. Not everybody. So if you're going to make a comparison with something like that, you have to look at it that way as a populace. You take that number. But then you also have to look at it like a police confrontations, police situations. So if, in fact, I'm just going to use this as a number to talk about how stats can be used to either make some shit up or push something of a different agenda or narrative. So if, in fact, let's say at a police confrontations, 75% to 80% of those people during the police confrontations were black, right? And you still had that much of a lesser number, you couldn't say the same thing. You would actually say that more as a percentage more white people got killed by
Oh, no. You're missing the point, though. So there's that many altercations between black people, but they're like...
Just like the numbers with the COVID, okay? When people were reporting to me, oh, this is how many tests... We have thousands of people that tested positive, okay? That's a scary number. You look at that and you focus on that number. But then if you want... The number I want to focus on, which is the real pressure on the system, the negative on the system was... Mm-hmm. How many people had to go to the hospital? How many people had it severely, which was 3%? Mm-hmm. 3 to 4% of people had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Other than that, they were, you know, in home with the flu. But that, I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you that to, I'm telling you these are statistical means. So if you had that number, that's what you got to look at. And that's because that's the way, the only way you're going to judge the final action is if you take the real number. So how many conflicts did you see? What were the numbers of that?
Why were there so many conflicts in the black community if there's so little population? What I'm saying. So statistically, that doesn't make sense. They have a proportionally higher amount of conflicts than the white population.
There's no argument that in a low-income area or an impoverished area, there's more crime. There's no argument about that.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't say anything about that.
But you just said the point that, well, if there's more crime, so all you're doing is you're taking a stat.
No, what I'm saying is that there's more white people in America than black people in almost every instance geographically, with the exception of a handful. How could the incidences of black people percentage-wise be so much higher? Because you're saying, it's such a high percent of instances that if you see how many people are dead, it's actually like not that
if
small.
If you're going to compare...
So why is it so high if they're not even a majority of our population?
Because, well, that's my point. It's not about the number of people in the population. It's about the number of the people in that situation. It has nothing to do...
So why are that many proportionally, like, out of proportion... like black occurrences happening?
You're asking me a question. I have no idea. I'm just telling you that.
I'm talking about the comparison.
I'm talking about if you're going to say that. Listen, if 25 white people were killed by police unarmed people last year, and only 15 were black, somebody would say, "See, there's more white people." I'm like, "No, you got it." Doesn't at that point, what you have to look at is how many police confrontations were there. How many of them were white? How many of them were black? That means a lot more than the population of the country. The population of the country is a grand number that has not as much relevancy to the act of shooting and killing.
What are you talking about, though? If the black incidence is so higher than the white one, that would imply that their population is at least competitive with ours, and it's nowhere near it.
That's not what we're talking about. My point is that if 80% of the confrontations are one way, you would think that 80% of the deaths would be that way. But that's not the way it is. It's the opposite way. If 80% of the confrontations that occur, in other words...
It sounds like a bunch of fuzzy math to me, bro.
Well, it's not fuzzy math. It's the math that people are ignoring. If you want to attack the big picture, you have to be honest and transparent about it. You can't say that, hey, this is the way it is when you're giving me fictitious numbers. The populace,
I'm not giving any numbers.
Because if that's the case, if one Samoan guy got shot by a cop and they're like a 0.0001% of the population, they would then be...
Yeah, that'd be a bad fucking year for Samoans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
But that's my point. So if you really want to compare, if you really want to get
a
real
look...
So tell
me how many white people are here and how many black people here and what percentage of all the crime was incidences with a cop.
You just had three
with white people and with black people.
Well, that's my point. The number of how many white people or black people are in the population is not as significant of a number as the number of incidents and who they involved, whether they're white or black or Hispanic. Okay, that's what if you're going to take the ratio, if you're going to take the fact of who got killed, you have to compare it with who actually was in the position to get killed, because that's how you have to judge the cops. That's how you have to judge the police. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if it was 50, if there was 500 confrontations with police this year, right, and 250 of them were white, 250 of them were black, you would hope that it would be 50-50. You'd hope that the people that died would be 50-50.
Okay, don't you understand, though,
that's such a fucking... such a demeaning, don't I understand? You realize when you say that, you're saying, I'm not understanding what I'm saying.
Okay, so you've said that about me quite a few times in this exchange.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and number two, what I'm asking you is, don't you get that even if the percentage was equal, that it would be a disservice to the black community because they're only like 20% of the U.S. population? So why would they have an equal occurrence? And the other thing you are not taking into account is you're assuming if you're having an incident with police that you're already guilty.
No.
So how do you know what percentage of those incidences were rightfully done and were not?
No, that's horseshit. The fact is that it's an unarmed person, right? If somebody's armed and they get shot in the middle of to me, if somebody gets shot in the middle of breaking the law and they're armed, right? They're in a position where they can kill somebody and they get shot. That's the way it is. What we're worried about is the death of innocence. I'm not worried about criminals dying. I'm sorry. I'm not sympathetic of that nature, okay? I'm concerned about innocence. I'm concerned about the death and the destruction of innocence. You know, people that don't deserve it, people that are not in a position to deserve it. Can we at least focus on that? Can we focus on the people that don't deserve it? Nobody deserves to die, but if I go out and try to rob a liquor store and I get shot, I'm kind of calling my own shots.
Okay, so what they're saying is, all things being equal, if you got a black guy robbing a liquor store and you got a white guy robbing a liquor store, the black guy is 70% more likely, or 7 or 10 times more likely to get shot by the police than the white guy who is, and who would just be apprehended.
Aside from knowing that there's racial division and people treat that, how would you really prove that unless you actually came up with numbers that were structured to prove it? And my point is that until you come up with a number...
You can't ever have a scenario with all things being equal.
No, you can. You can say, how many times did a policeman draw his weapon? How many times was it against a white man and a black man?
Yeah, and my guess is that...
Well, that's a guess. I don't want to guess. I want to know. That's my point. That's the only point I'm making.
Where are the numbers that you know? Where's your fucking factual numbers, Dougie?
Well, I'm trying to tell you.
I got skewed numbers that I ain't even giving you.
No, no.
Where the fuck is your data, bro?
You're missing it.
Because you don't got shit in front of you but assumptions.
You're missing my point. My point is, if you want to fix it, you can't throw out numbers that have no relevancy. If I need to know that there's an issue, I need to see it. I don't want to know how many white people live in this country and how many black people live in this country. What I want to know is, how many times did a cop draw his gun on somebody, and how many times were they white and how many they were black? And then if in fact I'm looking at that number and it says, okay, The police shot, and 100 different occasions, it was 50 white men and 50 black men, then you would hope, then, if that's the case, if, in fact, those are the numbers that are reported, and out of the 50 black men, 40 of them got shot and only 10 of the white men got shot, that's a proof that there's a fucking problem. Now that you, in a sense, are more conflict, more of a proving factor of it. So then you have to say, well, what happened with it? But don't throw out numbers to project something unless they're valid.
This is why the population matters, because if you have 50 white guys who did something and 50 black guys, this is the thing. That 50 is coming out of 1,000 white guys and coming out of 200 black guys.
Let me put it to you in a different, less emotional state.
It's not what emotional. If it's math.
No.
Go ponder why the fucking population matters.
You're going to tell the fiduciary I don't know my math.
Who gives a fuck if you play the stock market, bro? That's not knowing math. This is the thing.
That was the stupidest thing you ever fucking
said. No, it isn't knowing math. Half the stock market is insider information and riding buy low and sell high and hold your shit for 20 years.
So when I manage money, I look at ratios and profit and fundamental numbers, and you do research, and that has nothing to do with numbers.
So all of that, and you can't figure out why if those 50 white people came out of 1,000 white people and those 50 black guys came out of 200 black guys, you can't figure out why the fucking population doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't. It has to do, if I want to get to the answer of why...
Then let's just agree to disagree.
If I want to get to the answer why innocent unarmed people are getting shot, I want to know the exact percent. And it has not, the fact of how many people are in the populace is not as important as how many people are actually out there in that situation. It's like this. Okay. So how many musicians had their how many musicians had their instruments stolen in the last 20 years? The populace of the race of this or that has nothing to do with it. How many musicians are there? There's other critical numbers that play into the calculation. My point is that, and let me say this, I'm not saying there's not, of course there is. You know, there's obviously that racism when somebody sees a black man versus a white man. You know that. You know there are cops that are probably more nervous about the action. I get it. That exists. I know that's an issue. But my point is I'm saying, if you're going to lay it out there, don't give me a number that doesn't have as much factor as the other number. And that is why there's division. That's why there are people that don't see it that way. They're like, well, you know, because that's the thing. You have to come out and say these things. You have to be, listen, it's not just, and here's the thing. There are reckless cops. That's the fucking problem. It's not just racist cops. They're reckless cops. And that's the bigger, you know, anybody, that's the fucking problem. It's the training of the officers. It's the structure of the officers. It's the fact that they're not even, you know, how many times did that fucking guy get written up? The cop who fucking stunned on his neck, he had 12 He had 12 complaints. He had 12. That's a problem right there. That is the biggest problem. One of the biggest things I hear about this. How can this fucking guy be on the street when he has that many demotions?
Well, I think that's what black people are asking.
Well, yeah. Everybody should be asking. Everybody should be asking. So anybody who cares about their own life.
If that is happening through all of law enforcement across most of the country, maybe that's a problem.
Well, that is my point. That is only my point. If we want to fix it, we have to focus on those things. We have to focus on how the fuck is this guy in this position to even be in the street? And the reason
they're asking for police reform.
The reason you won't focus on it is because sometimes you put too much attention to something else. That is my point, Minda. That is only my point. It isn't that something doesn't exist. It's that if you want to fix it, you have to look at the real things. You have to find out why is this happening. You know, what I do as a living, if you get one fucking complaint, if you get one major complaint, you could be out of the business. So why is it a police officer who can end somebody's life in a fucking heartbeat? Why are they given so much fucking room? This, to me, is a big situation where police reform, right?
Okay, so then maybe you should talk more about police reform and less about personal responsibility. Because
well,
that
I started
was most
with personal
of the
responsibility. We start somewhere and we go from there. Because it has to happen from the person first. Then once you have responsible people, then you have to be able to monitor and police or, let's say, regulate those people. You know, look, after a while, we started getting police cams, right? After all these fucking, after one after another, people started having, and now what happens?
Yeah, and these guys are shutting them off.
All right. So now that's another, so you have something to help solve the
problem. So another problem.
Right. So you have, and now what are we doing? So once a cop turns the thing off, right? He should, that person, that cop, if the cop has a tendency to turn that thing off, they should be taken off the beat. They should be taken, listen, if you can't keep your fucking camera on, you can't go out in the street, you can't carry a gun.
That's it.
I tell you what, you turn your camera off more than one or two times, you don't get your gun. You got to go out and drive around and be one of those community cops with a stick, a little stick, a rubber stick, not even a hard stick.
Okay.
We see, this is the point. You quit fucking crazy thinking about the one trying to say something else when I'm not saying that. The populace is an interesting thing, but if you really want to find out why things are happening the way they're happening, you have to look at the other things. You have to concentrate on that.
Oh, so that speech on personal responsibility was about the cops?
No, it's about everybody.
And the law enforcement system in this country? Because it sounded like it was about black people when you said it.
Well, do you hear what you want to hear?
Okay, well, you re-listen to this fucking podcast and hear what you said.
And I say, because that's, listen, when I say it's everybody's personal responsibility, why would I have to distinguish white, black, or anything? Are people not people? So if I say everybody has a personal responsibility, why would that distinguish any
race
over another?
Sorry, I was confused by the topic of the day.
Right. So you hear what I just said? So if I say people need to be responsible, why would I have to differentiate between white and black?
All right.
Aren't we all talking about people? I mean, I don't get that. You know, so that's another thing. Why would you not have to distinguish that? If everybody has personal responsibility, they have a personal responsibility. And that's where things lie. That's where you have to really start concentrating on. And not only that, so if you see somebody else, if you're standing or if you're associating with somebody who's on the dark side, who has the tendency to do that, you have to have the balls to say to that person, hey, I don't like the way you're acting. How many times you have that? How many times people won't tell somebody they don't like the way somebody's, because they don't want to cause waves with their friendship or something like that? You know, how many times does that happen? Because but then, you know, then if something happens, don't you feel guilty? You know, if you know somebody's going to do something stupid, there's not too long ago, a good friend of mine in Miami knew that his the guy was getting a little crazy, like wanted to go strip. You know what I mean? He was like getting a little, he's married. He was wanting to do some shit. Right. And the guy, you know, the guy's like, yeah, you know, and he says, I went once or twice out and I saw the guy acting and then I just stopped going. And I said, well, why don't you say something to him? He's like, I can't say anything to him. I'm like, okay, I respect. I'm not going to tell somebody what to do, right? I'm not. But in my mind, I'm thinking, if they were my friend, I would want to tell them because, A, if that person got caught and got, you know, fucked around and screwed his wife over or, you know, God forbid, brought AIDS to the house, you know, because they're fucking around, then I would feel somewhat guilty and responsible myself because I didn't step up.
Well, doesn't it based on the level of friendship that you have with somebody, whether you're going to intervene or not?
I would imagine, but
I mean, for my good friends, I intervene. For people who I'm not that good friends with, it ain't none of my business.
Yeah. Well, listen, trust me, who wants to step into a bag of shit? But at the same time, if you don't, if we make that choice, right, if we make that choice for our well-being, our self-well-being, which we have the right to do, and you have every reason to think that way, everybody can make their own choices. If that happens, if something adversely happens from that, you have to accept that. You have to accept, hey, maybe I could have or would have done something different. That's all it is. Yeah. So, anyway. Wow, we really got off on that one.
Yeah. I think I'm personally just going to end it on we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, well, that part of the topic's over.
Okay.
So, at any rate. And again.
I'm glad you're for police enforcement reform.
Hell yes.
And listen, sounds like better training.
When I was in my...
Three strikes and you're out less.
I can't... When I heard
one
that...
One major infraction and you're gone.
Well, you know, I think you strike should... three strike policy at least, you know, because sometimes, like, listen,
well,
I've had people...
on, look, you don't have your camera on. Maybe that's a strike one.
Right.
You beat someone to, you know, whatever, inappropriately.
There's a trend,
and
right?
there's a silver civil suit or something.
Right.
You're out. That's
right.
It.
Yeah, that's it. How could this guy have that many things?
They had a lawsuit against him at some point.
It was unbelievable. And who was it? Klobuchar supposedly overlooked one of those moments. She kind of left him in the force. She had a chops. So, you know, it's like, and again.
Are there even that many black people in Minnesota?
I think there is.
No, I don't think there is.
There's
a
lot of black people just Minnesota, Michigan, because Michigan is all up there. I will say this, there's a predominance of Scandinavian descent in Minnesota. That's why they're called the Minnesota Vikings, right? So, anyway, but, you know, like, for example, when it comes to that, like, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out kind of thing, okay? I agree with that also, because at the same time, you got to be careful because people are just going to accuse you. Like, how many times in my life did I have somebody accuse me of doing something unethical?
Yeah, I think law enforcement should be able to figure out what's valid and what's not.
Well, again, there's just too much, you know. But my point is, like, I've had people accuse me of doing wrong things with their money when I didn't. They just wanted to. I had a woman one time when I worked at a bank. She wanted to get out of an account that she had bought. But she accused me of forging the documents.
Yeah. And no, like, people do bad things
right?
all the time.
And I'm like, but, you know, so if I would have lost my job because she lied, that would have been horrible. So there's got to be. But yeah.
I think they would be able to investigate that. You would easily be able to resolve
her
claim.
And they do. But here's what ended up happening in that. My attorney says, look, they can get anybody to come up and say, look, that's not a right signature. When, in fact, the lady actually had checks come back because she kept signing. She purposely was doing that with checks, to have checks. So it was ridiculous. So what's up, Hiram? How you doing, buddy? I don't know. Let's get to the news a little bit. We got a couple stories we want to go through.
Oh, we do. Okay.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's not that there's nothing that we haven't talked about in the headlines today, but our first story.
What do you got there?
Cobbler. No, I don't want to do the story yet. Australian man acquitted after two allegedly enter wrong home with machetes for sexual fantasy.
Wait. Say that again. Entered a home with machetes, sexual fantasy.
Yeah.
Was it like a role play thing, or were there like people in the home?
It's almost like when somebody says they have a rape fantasy.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in and rapes her, and then she calls the cops, and the guy gets shot by the cops,
mm-hmm.
who happen to be white. I'm only kidding. It's just stupid. Two men snuck into a bedroom with machetes after being hired to carry out a stranger's sexual fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of stuff like that.
Of being tied up in his underwear and stroked with a broom, only to discover that they had got the wrong address.
Oh. No, that's, you know, I saw a documentary on that. That's a real thing. Like, people pay, and when they least expect it, you accost them and tie them up and put them in trunks and do the whole thing. Boy, how awkward, right?
Yeah, right. Why aren't you enjoying this, dude? One of the men, Terrence Leroy, has now been acquitted of entering the home in July 2019, intending to intimidate while armed with an offensive weapon. After New South Wales District Court accepted his explanation, conceding the facts of the case are unusual, Judge Sean Grant, who's also a funny comedian out of L.A. from Florida, set out his reason for the not guilty verdict, saying, with the evidence, did not suggest that the men's actions were intentional. They carried the machetes either as a prop or something to use in that fantasy, he said. The fantasy was unscripted, and there was discretion on how it would be carried out. So,
until you did it to the wrong people.
Boy, that guy's really acting scared.
He's like, yeah. Like, wow, he's good. I wonder why he just won't say the safe word. Yeah. Like,
he doesn't know the safe word. The guy's waiting to hear the safe word. Meanwhile, he's about to chop his arm off.
Oh my
God. The word, dummy. But the residents of the home where the men mistakenly turned up told the police that when he noticed a light on in his lounge at 6:15 a.m., he assumed it was a friend who visits daily to make coffee. Who has you have people come to your house to open, make coffee at your own?
Wait, 7 at night?
6:15 a.m.
Oh, a.m. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's an early abduction.
Yeah, I don't want that fucking person coming to my house.
Boy, someone really likes morning sex.
Yeah, I'm going to get my machete out and kill somebody if they walk in my house at 6:15.
So it's not his friend was coming to make him coffee at 6:15 and it was a sexual machete abduction?
Well, he said, the guy says, he called out, "Bitch off, it's too early." After hearing a voice asking, "Is your name Kevin?" The man said he turned his light on to see two men he did not recognize standing next to his bed, both holding machetes. Who doesn't like to wake up to that? A conversation then ensued. Can you imagine what that conversation was like? You wake up and there's two guys with machetes next to your bed, in which they repeatedly, thank you, player, repeatedly sought to establish whether he was Kevin. At that one point, one of them asked, are you sure you're not Kevin? Are you sure? Aren't you Kevin?
Yeah. You look a little different from our first meeting.
Eventually accepting the error, the duo then left, with one saying, "Sorry, mate," shaking the resident's hand.
Oh, well, I mean, you want to keep it
now. There's
cordial.
Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody walks in your house with machetes, you're going to shake their hand. Oh, sorry, bed. My bad. Wrong house. It's not like he's delivering a pizza. Pennsylvania woman allegedly kept grandma's corpse in freezer for 15 years and collected her Social Security check.
Oh, that's why. I was going to say, well, you just can't let go to grandma. But that's why, Social Security check.
Speaking of my fiduciary duties, I had a client one time. This was in Hallandale, whose mom passed, right? And he came from up north to take care of stuff. And I think it was a few months later. He's like, what should I be doing with these checks? I go, you've been getting the checks for the last 6 months? You need to send them back. He's like, do I have to? I'm like, yes, you have to. Where did I lost my story? Where'd it go? Oh, that's there. It goes. Yeah, it says here, where's your name? Pennsylvania woman was arrested for allegedly keeping her dead grandmother in a freezer for 15 years while the family continued collecting her Social Security checks. Boy, grandma's really living long. She must have really took care of herself. The grandmother, Glenora Reckford Delaney, died in March of 2004.
The jig was up when she turned 121 or something? Yeah. Like, this bitch ain't even in the Guinness Book of World Records. Go find her. The
Guinness called. We have to speak to your mom. Why? She's the oldest living human. Well, it's funny you should say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Living.
They were, let's see, she died back at about 10 miles near out of Philadelphia. Delaware's 61-year-old granddaughter, Cynthia Carolyn Black, allegedly told police she kept her grandma's corpse because the family needed the money from her Social Security checks. She also claimed that she moved the freezer to Dillsburg, more than 100 miles away, because it smelled like shit. Police discovered the body of the in February of 2019 while responding to a report regarding human remains inside a townhouse. Black was arrested Tuesday and taken into custody.
Did she get, like, a big freezer, or did she just stack her up in, like, your regular side-by-side?
Fold her up or something?
Yeah, or I don't know what you...
Because sometimes, you have it, like, we have a small freezer, you know, we have a small
or
fridge.
Or, like, the side-by-side, the freezer's kind of, like, vertical, if you will.
It's not right. It's not, like, a big walk-in freezer.
Yeah, like, where would you keep... I feel like she had to go buy a freezer, like one of those freezers you keep in your garage.
Almost like a Brandsmart had a sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anything that could fit my mom?
I need it to be at least 4 feet long.
Oh, God.
You can fold her over.
Starbucks customer leaves employees speechless with cash register stunt. I actually paid. TikTok user is dumbfounding Starbucks baristas, convenience store clerks, and plenty of social media users with the new payment method. The prankster, who goes by Vera on social media, has shared several videos of him interacting with completely baffled cashiers. Ultimately, the stunt comes down to two simple words: Apple Pay. We found literally the only fool you need to make a decision, delicious grilled food, the safety of your own home this summer. I don't know why that was there. The TikToker takes those words extremely literally through, instead of paying the tech company's convenient phone or watch-enabled app, Vera uses a literal Apple... an apple.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
It's simple but elegant trick. It's most recent video, TikTok stuffs his phone with Apple already loaded under his sleeve. Then he walks into a convenience store and picks out snacks.
I think TikTok's weird.
Yeah? Are you on that?
No.
Let me ask you something. Like, a lot of people, I've had a lot of people... like Bob Levy's ex, who's getting divorced, his
I
new
heard.
Yeah,
his I'm ex, sorry.
Yeah, it's horrible. He's cool with it.
But when they had a huge argument on his own podcast, and he's going, "Get the fuck out of here!" I'm "This isn't gonna make it." Like, I don't think they're gonna make it through quarantine.
Yeah, and Bob was like, "He's like, be nice." And then I told him when I talked to his, he got me on for a little bit. I go, "You know, she just posted on Facebook what she could do with her $16 Kohl's wedding ring." He goes, "I didn't even buy her a wedding ring." So he doesn't give a shit.
She bought her herself.
Yeah. Our last story of the day, Gibraltar, which is my home country, the Rock of Gibraltar, moves to protect its monkeys against coronavirus. You ever hear about the famous Gibraltarian monkeys?
Kinda.
Yeah, they're very smart because they know how to wipe their own ass.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's pretty talented. Where the hell does it go? Says here that Madrid, authorities in Britain's tiny enclave of Gibraltar, fearful of coronavirus epidemic among its famous Barbary monkeys, have banned tourists from touching the animals. Don't touch the monkey. You know, you don't want to touch a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I mean, it depends on how cute the monkey looks.
Well, they're good looking monkeys. Like I said, they wipe their ass, so they're pretty clean.
Are they manageable, like little, or like the kind of monkeys that attack you?
No, they're kind of big. They're kind of about,
let me pet it. Like, I don't think I'd want it to like latch onto my back or like pick at my hair or anything. That might be uncomfortable. I mean, if I was going to like hang out with monkeys, I'd probably prefer it be smaller ones.
Yeah, like a bunch of open micers. The macaques, I don't know how to, the monkey brand, macaques, Europe's only wild population of monkeys are a popular tourist attraction, and local folklore in Gibraltar would cease to be British if the monkeys were to leave the rock. It's an old saying that because the monkeys are there because the British are there.
Yeah.
Feeding them is already illegal and punishable by hefty fines. But now the government has decided to stop that by not even let anybody touch the monkeys because they don't want them to get coronavirus.
That makes sense.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. If it wouldn't have come from that Chinese lab, I'd be like, it probably comes from monkeys. But
right.
Came from the lab.
I feel good. You feel good?
I feel okay.
Yeah.
I got to get to public, so.
You got a mask?
In the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep it in the car.
My wife just, like, one of her clients is a dentist, so we bought, like, a bunch of masks from the dentist to use.
Oh, okay. Look, this is when I knew everything was going to be okay. 2, maybe 3 weeks ago now, I was trying to kill some time because my cat, I was trying to make him not die. And
right.
He was at the vet, but you can't go in the vet now. So when your animal has an emergency, you literally just got to drop them off
and
hope for the best because you can't go in and comfort them, nothing. So I'm killing time. I walk into a Walgreens, not in the best neighborhood of Broward. Yo, in that Walgreens, I got toilet paper, paper towels, a 20-pack of masks. And hand sanitizer.
Wow.
I'm like, you know what? Things are back. We're going to be okay.
You scored, and you got it in an area that
even
very,
looking
that
for
you got
it.
In a poor neighborhood.
Well,
so it's the poor it's neighborhoods aren't
like,
too
it was
bad.
Like on the line, but definitely it wasn't in a great neighborhood.
Was
and
it Multiply, you quilted toilet paper?
No, nice stuff. No, all brand name things. I mean, some lady was walking out of there. Her cart was filled with 2 cases of Bounty and 3 cases of Angel Soft. And I'm kind of, I thought, lady.
She's a little late to the
That's
show,
what
the
I was
party,
thinking.
Yeah.
Unless you're like flipping it someplace. Yeah. People are okay now.
I think people are fine.
Until it, you know, picks back up.
Anyway, we've had a great show today, and let me clarify, make sure we're clear on something. I'm against anybody of innocence being harmed in any way. I think that you should judge people for their actions solely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how I do. I judge people by their actions. You have a 4.0 with me until you fuck up.
Okay.
You have my trust until you earn my distrust.
Oh man, where's my GPA at?
Huh?
Where's my GPA
at?
Oh,
you're here.
Well, okay.
If I didn't trust you, you wouldn't be fucking here.
All right.
I know you don't. So, you know what I'm saying? That's the way, and that's it. So, you know, and think about it before you start labeling people with names or getting mad at somebody calling them a name. Make sure you have enough information. And that's kind of what I was trying to say. It's not that I don't think things are, as you were saying it. I believe that. I know those things exist. I know it's hard. You know, I know all that. But if we really want to find answers to it, you really got to look at the really important aspects of it to solve it. You can't say, well, look at this, then this is this. Then you're never going to come up with an answer. You have to really find out what's happening. And that's why, you know, putting your camera in front of a cop at a protest is not going to solve racial bias. Okay? If you want, put your thinking cap on, talk to your local community leaders, you know, donate your time, mentor, you know, do what you can. Maybe, you know, be a citizen watch person. You know, maybe travel around with a cop, you know, so if you see him doing something, you say, hey, that's fucked up. Why are you saying that? You know what I mean? At least be part. You know, that is when you can't sit back and go, oh, why is this happening? Well, what did you do? You know, just like I said, if you see somebody, if somebody says something messed up, you know, I remember the first time I actually did something like racial like that, like I stood for racial when somebody said, hey, that's a good looking black girl. I go, no, it's a good looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, because that's what I just said. Humanity, a person's a person. Responsibility is a person. Everybody's a person. You know, unless you're an animal or a fucking alien, everybody's a person. Everybody deserves to be treated equally. If somebody fucks up, then they fuck up. They deserve what comes to them. But until then,
Black lives matter. All lives matter. Everyone matters.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we've been forgetting.
I get that. You know, listen.
Yeah, I think, and look, in lots of communities, other people are discriminated against, whether it's transgender people or whatever. So look, I think we have to remember right now they're getting fucked the most and they need the most help. And everyone needs to come out and support the African-American, you know, ethnicity in this country and make sure they're not discriminated against.
I think,
but don't forget, everybody matters.
That's right. And that's
women matter. Women get fucked all the time. That's right. Bro. Come on, man. I got a lot of issues.
Right.
Man, black women out there. Yo, you got it the hardest.
Yeah.
So everybody matters.
Yeah. And that's it. Just don't be so, you know, listen, hold people up to the highest position. And by the way, again, we do need some fucking reform. You can't unfund the police department. Some of the liberals are pushing for unfunding the police departments. And it's like, look, my dog realized that's fucked up. He's like, that's messed up. You can't do that. But we could definitely, if anything, spend more money and do stuff and better training. Back in my early 20s with martial arts, I used to, in Broward County Sheriff's Office, you know, the PR-24, the nightsticks that have like a side thing and you hold it. They're, you know, cops are just banging people on the fucking head. So what do? They hired us from our school, people to come and train the cops how to use those sticks in a non-striking way, like how to use it to subdue, to take down, and not bang somebody's skull with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt really good about that because I felt, hey, I'm probably going to save somebody's life, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you got to have more of that, man. It's too easy for people to fuck up. Anyway. Thanks for joining us, everybody. God bless for being here. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show.
All right.
We got like 192 followers. So
yeah, and counting. Yeah, no, that's just the base. That's the foundation.
And if you haven't, go to that because we have our Just the Clip series, which is about a minute or two of some part of the show.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do for this show?
I don't know. We'll have to find something.
No, don't make me sound stupid and you sound good in Just the Clip. You make sure you pay the whole clip. Yeah, no, it will be if you play a long enough clip.
I think the stupidest thing you said was when a fiduciary doesn't have to know math.
You know, insider trading is a real thing.
That
you just need information.
Insider trading is in that aspect. It has nothing to do with the whole. That's like saying,
I didn't say all of them don't need to know math. I'm just saying you don't need to know
math. Anybody that's been in my business, you know, anybody who is a crook and didn't, you know, for 2000. I'm not talking about talk about congressmen for insider trading, for God's sakes. Forget about that. But, and you know, the good thing about bad times, it weeds out the system.
Okay. So like,
look at comedy. We got all this shit going on. There's going to be a lot of comics that aren't doing comedy anymore.
Because I'm interested to see who comes back and who doesn't.
Yeah, and what clubs do and don't. So anyway, guys, thanks for joining us again. Go to our Podbean site, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. There's a patron button. Find it. Donate $1 a month, $2 a month if you enjoy watching us, seeing us, listening to us. Other than that, God bless, guys, and we'll be back next Tuesday. I think Al Martin, comedy club owner of New York Comedy Club, Broadway Comedy Club, just wrote a book
Fancy.
On a bet. And,
all right.
So I'm going to have him in the studio and mention Bob Levy. Bob Levy will be doing a call-in part. As well in the next coming week. So thanks for joining us, guys. God bless. Stay safe and call out people. Don't be scared to tell people to fucking straighten up a little bit.
All right, can I tell people where they can find
yes.
me? All right, at Minda is awesome across any social platform. I'll see you there.
All right, guys, take care.
People out there, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one.
children of the sun. Children of the sun.